Hebrews chapter 11, you there? Go to verse 24. Go to verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, or when he became mature, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt behind, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Go to Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, Galatians 6 and verse 14, Galatians 6 and verse 14, but God forbid, before I read this, what is the thing that I should read to produce faith? What is the thing that gives me the sustenance of life and sustains my very being? Somebody say something. What is the thing that I should read right when I wake up in the morning? The Bible. What is the thing I should meditate and chew on all day long? The Word of God. What's supposed to be my best friend? What's supposed to be the thing that I can't go to sleep at night because I just read it all night long? My Bible. What's the thing that I just can't stop thinking about it all night long? Not my girlfriend. Some of you are like, my girlfriend. My Bible. We need to be in our Bibles, reading our Word, not sitting on our shelf. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let's be a people of the Bible. Look, you got problems. You got trials. Your heart's weak and lonely, and you just feel out of shape in your spiritual life. You need to start exercising on the Word of God. Stop being a gerbil and rolling around in your little thing that spins in circles. Get off the track and start walking in your Word. Amen? Seriously, some of us are like gerbils just spinning in circles thinking we're going somewhere. Get in your Word. Read your Word. The Bible says that the glory of man is like grass. What's your grass do when it gets cold outside? It fades away. It dies. What do flowers do when it gets cold outside? They fall away and they die. So is all of the glory of this world. It is nothing. When I say glory, I mean the beauty. When I say beauty, I mean the things that this world has to offer. It's like grass. But the Bible says that the word of the Lord endures forever. And so we have something here that is eternal, and we're sitting here playing in grass. Look, stop playing in grass, cutting your grass, mowing your grass, watering your grass. Stop playing in grass and get in your Word. Amen? Amen. Man. Hallelujah. You're funny. Paul says it in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The NLT translation, the New Living Translation says it this way. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is it right here. You ready? You ready? Because of that cross. What does it mean to be crucified to the world and for the world to be crucified to me? This is what it means. Because of my cross, my interest in this world has been crucified. Okay? And the world's interest in me has also died. What does he say? He says, my interests in the world, it's dead. And the world's interest in me, it's dead. Let's pray. Father, tonight, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you for family and fellowship and relationship. And God, that you are so faithful even when we're unfaithful. God, you cannot just turn away from us. God, you continue to love us and hold on to us. You are more than merciful, Lord, and we thank you for that. And God, we thank you for your word that endures forever. And God, we thank you that we preach the word and it produces faith in our hearts. And God, I'm thanking you for that. I'm thanking asking you for your anointing tonight and for your grace on our hearts to transform us, to renew us, to build us up. And God, I'm praying you teach us practically how to apply this word into our life. In Jesus' name, Lord, we need you to do something tonight, God. I can talk, but God, if you don't do something, we do it all in vain. So Lord, would you speak to our hearts tonight, encourage us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So I got to get rolling here. So we've been talking for the past few months, weeks, past few weeks about the story or the unfolding of this mystery called From Dust to Glory. We call it a series. I call it an unveiling of a mystery. And so we're going to unveil this mystery once again tonight about how we can experience the glory of God. Amen. So tonight my title message is called Dust Denied. And so if you take notes and you just want to write that down, or you just want to mark it in your head or write it on your arm, or you can even write it on your neighbor's arm, that'd be good too. But just think about it and just get into thinking about from dust to glory. Every day I wake up, I'm thinking about how can I leave dust to find God's glory? How can I leave this sandbox to find God's kingdom? Right. Amen. Yeah. Amen. 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 So I really like food. You guys like food?
Yeah.
So I really like food, and when I eat food, it just does something to my soul. I tell you, it does something to my soul. But look, I just got to be honest with you. You got to stop eating bad food. But you know what? Put my notes to the side for 1 minute. Look, you got to eat some good food. Look, Bible says that our body, soul, and spirit would be blameless. God wants our body, soul, and spirit to be blameless when we enter into the presence of Jesus Christ. Our bodies to be blameless. This is the temple of God. So we better take care of our temple. And we better eat good food. You got to start looking at the ingredients on those Cheetos that you're eating, on those Frito-Lays that you're eating, on that soda that you're drinking, on that Red Bull that you're putting down into your stomach, on that Monster that you're drinking.
Yeah.
I'm just preaching the truth now. Look, I'm serious. We got to go back to the basics of eating good food, man. Waking up, eating good food. Look, I'll give you some good advice. This is free. Just take it, leave it, do whatever you want to do with it. This is, take some notes on this one. Look, get up in the morning, eat some fruit, man. Just eat some fruit. Look, eat some good, hefty, whole grain oatmeal. Just do it, and you'll feel better about yourself. You might even start looking better. I promise you. What happened to him? He just started eating oatmeal. I don't know what happened to him. Just start eating whole wheat toast. Just start eating organic fruit. Just start drinking some orange juice. Just start taking vitamins, man. Just eat some eggs. Stop eating that Frosted Flakes and that nasty cereal with whole milk, man. Get organic milk, man. Just get the good stuff, all organic. I don't care if it's out of the nipple of the cow. Get some good organic milk. That's pretty nasty, I'm not going to lie. My goodness. So I'm going to move on from that point. I'm serious, though. When I take, you will never see me at McDonald's. Now, some of you are convicted now. So, you don't see an altar call right now. If you've been coming, I'm just kidding. Look, you just need to stay away from that place. Supersize me, it's as good as this right here. I'm just kidding. No, but seriously though, you need to stay away from some of these places you're eating at. It's killing your whole body. It's killing your whole soul. I'm going to start preaching on green. God is green, man. I'm just kidding. I just want to stay there for a minute. But look, hey, we need to eat good. We need to eat some good food. You wonder why you're tired and lazy? You need to get up out of your bed, fall on your knees, spend some time with Jesus, and then walk straight over to the table, cook up some oatmeal, some whole wheat, cream of wheat, okay, and get some good juice and some strawberries. Look, and get a good meaty lunch and get a good dinner with a little bit of carbs, because you're going to be burning that stuff all night off when you're trying to stay warm and stuff. Look, eat good. You want to talk about good eating food? Come talk to me. I'll help you out with that one. So anyway, me and my wife like to eat. I like to eat. She just comes with me because I like to eat. Like to eat all the time. But I think the funniest thing is that when we walk into a restaurant and we sit down, I don't only order my food, I order her food too. Because I realize that she doesn't always eat all of her food, so I just say, well, I always end up eating all of her food at the end of the night anyway, so I might as well get something for her that I'm going to like too. And so by the end of the time that the lady comes to us, I'm ordering both of our meals because I'm going to end up eating both of them, so I might as well get something that I like. So the reality is that she never really gets what she wants. I'm not that controlling, but I'm just telling you the truth. And so it's just the reality, folks. I'm just being true with you. When I go out to eat the... A little gerbil under there or something. Keeps moving that thing. When I go out to eat somewhere, I always go and I make sure that I'm going to get something good for my wife. Because, not for her, for me, you know. Because I'm like, I'm just thinking, honestly, I don't even think about what I'm going to get. I just think what she's going to get. And so we sit down and we're sitting there ordering our food and we're drinking the water and I'm just, you know, just drooling at the mouth. Can't wait for her food that's going to come. And my food, I'm not even kidding. You can ask her. My food comes right, it's right in front of me and I don't even look at it. And I'm just waiting for that lady to take hers and whoosh, slide across the table. And I'm all staring at it. Just looking at the steam like, you know. Hey, looks pretty good. She's like, yep, it is good. You know, that's why I ordered it, you know. No, but it looks really good. And I'm just curious if, you know, maybe, perhaps, sometime tonight that there's some kind of possibility, slight chance that I might be able to. I mean, if you're willing and you really are able to give it up and, you know, I mean, if you don't completely finish your meal and, well, I mean, what I'm trying to say is that if you're, you know, could you possibly lend maybe just one grain of rice? I mean, something. And she just looks at me. And I just look at her, look back down at my plate, start eating my food. And if you eat with me enough at a restaurant or somewhere, you always hear me, or you've heard me say this before, I just make this announcement. I just kind of make it, I write it, and I pin it up on the wall. Look, don't throw your leftovers away. If you got leftovers, bring them to me. Just letting you all know. So now the whole time people are eating, they're like, got to have leftovers for Gabriel, you know, because they're just condemned and convicted that they have to save their leftovers for me. And so if you go out to eat with me, you feel condemned. It's a good condemnation because I'm trying to bless you because the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so I'm just trying to get you to give it away so you can be blessed. Man, I didn't even start on my message yet. So anyway, so here I am. I get this delicious meal right, served right at my table, right in front of me. And here I am just lusting and coveting after the beautiful, desirable meal that my wife is eating. And I find this in relationship with Christianity. And what I find is that God dishes us this thing called the kingdom of heaven. God dishes us this thing called eternal life, but yet we're looking across the table for something else. And whatever we got just wasn't good enough, and so we're just looking across the table. And we're just desiring something else because what we got just wasn't good enough. And so we don't even look at our own meal. We don't even look at what's been offered us. Bible says in John 10:10 that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. Jesus came to give us abundant life. He dished us abundant life. And here we are looking at the things of this world. Wow. I'm not saying that my wife's food is the things of this world, but you get the analogy. He dishes us this eternal life. But here we are just being like, you know the story about Lot? You know, Lot and Lot's wife, about how they were, you know, Genesis chapter 19, you know, they're running out of Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember what the Bible says? He says, don't look back. Don't look back. Just keep running. The Bible says that Lot's wife turns around and boom, she got turned into a pillar of salt. My goodness. Because she just wanted, here she is being delivered out of the hand of destruction and she's Bye, Jackie. Thanks for coming. See you guys. Love you. And here she is being delivered out of this thing, and I just can't believe it. She looks back, and bam, like that, she gets turned into a pillar of salt. And this is what so many Christians are dealing with tonight, is they're trying to run to glory. They're trying to experience all that God has for them, but they just say, but. But what about, you know, it's funny that if you look in Genesis 19 and you read about the story of Lot, and I wasn't planning on preaching on this, but I was just thinking about it. Just kind of came to me. If you look at the story of Lot, the Bible says that when the angels were taking them out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible says that Lot lingered. Lot lingered. He lingered in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom and Gomorrah represents death. Sodom and Gomorrah represents sinful people. Sodom and Gomorrah represents the world's system. Okay? The Bible says that he lingered in Sodom and Gomorrah. The problem is that God is trying to take us out of this place called the world system, out of dust, but we're still lingering because we got this lustful desire to stay in it.
That's good.
And so Romans 14, 17 says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. God offers us righteousness or right standing with him. You can't give enough money for that. And God offers peace that surpasses any understanding and anything you're going through. God offers you peace. You can't give enough money for that. Then God offers you joy that sustains you in the middle of any circumstance, any situation you're going in. You're strong and steady. But we're still just lingering. Romans 5:17. Bible says that we would reign as kings in this life. God gives us the ability to rule over demons and serpents, to rule over our sinful nature, to rule over the things of this world, to conquer the enemy, and to conquer darkness with light. But still we find ourselves lusting after the things of this world. And then the Bible says, I preached on it 3 weeks ago, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Amen? That you have all things pertaining to life and godliness. That God has given you all the equipment to get the job done. All of it. You got it all. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, you just got to pick up the tools and start doing it. But here we are just playing in the world. You know this word world in Galatians 6:14. When I say this with the word world tonight, and when I talk about the word world tonight... The word world is the word cosmos, but the word comes from, it's actually in this time when the Bible is talking about the world, it was talking about the present world system. It was talking about the temporal things. It was talking about the worthless, temporal, fleeting, passing thing, the systems of this world, the mindsets of this world, the temporal passions and desires of this world. The Bible says that, or this word actually indicates that this type of world was evil, both in physical and in moral. It's an evil thing. This world, when I talk about the world, I'm talking about desiring the world, I'm talking about this temporal thing that I would like to call dust. Dust. And so God dishes us this kingdom, but we pick it, we look across the table at the world, and for some reason our interests are still like the interests of the world. Lusts, greed, anger. these are the sinful things, but this is the world system. Sexual relationships before marriage. Dishonoring our mother and father. Slanders. Disrespectful. You know, I think the biggest problem with our generation today is that they're not submitted to anybody. You just think you can do whatever you want to do. The reality is that that's what our tendencies are, and that's what the world says, is that you just need to be free. And that's not okay, and that's not going to fly in this kingdom. In God's kingdom, the God's kingdom of submission. God's kingdom is of submission. God's kingdom is of humility and brokenness. But we have this idea that I'm just going to do whatever I want to do and just be free because I'm free. Jesus set me free. You don't even know what you're saying. You were never set free to do what you want to do. You weren't set free to go and fulfill the passions and lusts that are in your heart. You're set free to do what you were made to do. You're not set free to do what you want. You're set free to do what you ought. You are not set free to go back to the pleasures of this world. You are set free to fulfill God's plan for your life, to walk in peace, to walk in love, to walk in righteousness, to walk in joy, to walk in the things of God, to have relationship with God's people, to go to church and to worship God. Not to make fun of people. Not to be disrespectful. You know what God spoke to me one time? He goes, Gabriel, I just got to be real with you. He said, making fun of people isn't cool. Sarcasm that tears people down, that's not cool. I was like, okay, I get that. But for some reason, we got this thing in our culture that we think that it's cool to make fun of people. And see, in a little bit, I'm going to talk about how Moses was taken out of the world and how the Israelites were taken out of Egypt. But what happened is if you read in Exodus chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17, in the beginning of each chapter, you'll see where the Israelites were complaining and wanting to go back to Egypt. And just because you're not in the world and you're not hanging out with the worldly people doesn't mean the world's not out of you yet. Just because you're not hanging out with the unbelievers doesn't mean that you're in a believer circle acting like the world. So don't get all self-righteous because you're not, well, I'm not hanging out with the unbelievers. Well, you're creating your own unbelieving culture within the church. And so we got a lot of people that are saying that they're living the Christian life, but then they're creating their own un-Christian lifestyle inside the church. We call it acculturization, where one culture influences another culture. And we got the culture of this world influencing our culture of the kingdom of heaven, where people are coming in and think it's okay to slander people and to gossip people and to talk bad about people and have sex and sexual relationships before marriage and to lie and to not be submitted and to do whatever we want to do. That's not okay. That's the culture of the world. Just because you're not hanging out with the world doesn't mean the world's not hanging out inside of you. See, because the Israelites were taken out of Egypt, but Egypt never really got out of the Israelites. That's why they never ever came into the promised land, because there's too much Egypt inside of Israel. And if we're going to be a holy people, there can't be any Egypt inside of us holy people. There can't be any culture or any world system or any world tendencies. There can't be any like interests with us and the world. Bible says that friendship with God or friendship with the world is enmity or we are enemy with God. First John 2:15. John says it. Preaching. Telling his people. Hey, do not love this world, nor the things it offers. Do not love the world system. And don't love the things that it offers. This word love is the word agapeo, which means to be fond with. To find pleasure in. Excuse me. It means to delight in something. Don't delight. If you find yourself delighting in the things of this world, you find yourself delighting in the things, maybe you watch a movie and you see somebody doing something. I find this in my own self. I watch a movie and I see something come up and I see something happen and I start finding this Egypt inside of my heart starting to delight in something. And I'm like, that's not good, Lord. I repent. That's nasty. Get that Egypt out of my heart. Because the reality is that you're going to find times where you start seeing your heart longing and lusting and coveting after the things of this world. And you gotta pick it up and renounce it and just rebuke it and repent to God and say, God, clean that thing out of my heart. Because God showed you that thing so that He can deliver you from that thing. Do not love the world. Do not delight in the world, and don't delight in what the things that the world has to offer. Man, that's good, huh? Man, just reading this word. I could just read this word, and we could just go home and listen to this. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure. Lust of the flesh. A craving for everything we see, or the lust of the eyes. And pride in our own achievements and possessions, which is the pride of life. In the New King James, if you read 1 John 2, verse 16, it talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These three things is what makes up the culture of this world. The lust of the flesh is what my flesh yearns and desires for. The world will offer that to you, and it will fulfill your pleasures. Those sickening, disgusting pleasures in your heart, you want to fulfill those, you can go to the world, they'll fulfill it for you. But it's only temporal, and it's only passing, and it ends in death and destruction. I'm not going to go that way. Then there's the lust of the eyes, which we meditate and we think on things. If you want to be able to think about things and fill your mind with things, just listen to the music that the world's putting out. Just listen to that for a little bit. That'll fill your mind, and that'll fulfill that lust in your mind. But I'm not saying do it. I'm just saying that's just what it's going to do for you. And then the pride of life. All these achievements. Hear me out real quick. I don't think that getting your diploma or getting your GED or getting a degree or anything like that is wrong. But if you're doing it for an achievement, or if you're doing it to find pride, that's from the world system, the world structure. Pride of life, boasting in my own achievements, my own workings. That's what the world will offer you. If you look into, if you even watch for 5 minutes our television, it's all about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It's all it's about. You turn on your movie, and most movies even today are about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All about fulfilling your sinful nature and your the things that you want and desire. And it's all about filling your mind with those things. And it's about you being proud and you being the best and you being strong and you being cool and you being just. And what does he say? These are not from the Father, but are from the world. And this world is fading away. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? It's crazy. He says, this world, this world system, this world structure, the heart and the desire, the things of being drunk, drugs, alcohol. I've said a few of them already. Lying, slandering, gossiping, walking away from the Lord, disrespecting authority, not honoring your father and mother. If you invest in those things, the Bible says in Galatians that you will reap a harvest of destruction. I don't want to reap a harvest of destruction. I don't want to put my life in those things, because the Bible says that those things are fading away. Fading away. Like grass. Like flowers that just fade away. They come and they go and they fade away. This world and the glory of this world is fading away. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. You see how subtly he put that? Anyone who does what pleases God lives forever. Anyone who sows into God's kingdom, who comes and worships wholeheartedly, who gets on their knees in the morning and seeks God, even if they don't feel like it, and reads their Bible, even if they don't completely understand it, anyone who just loves their neighbor and forgives somebody and repents when they make a mistake, anybody that does that will receive eternal life. What? But so we are here and we're Christians. We're supposed to be Christians. Which I know you guys are Christians. And maybe there's some of you in here that aren't Christians. That's fine. But those of us who are Christians, those of us who do have the love of the Father in our hearts, why do we still want the food across the table? Hey, can I, you know, just when you, you know, what? I just want, you know, you know? You know, this is another thing also, is that one of the other reasons why I try and get something for my wife and I try and get something for her to eat is I didn't mention it earlier, but it's just in case mine doesn't taste good enough. See? And a lot of us live the same way. See, just in case this Christianity thing doesn't work out, I got your number, bruh. I'll just in case this worshiping God thing doesn't work out, just in case this leadership thing doesn't work, just in case serving God doesn't work out, then I got you, bro. I'm just trying it out right now, just testing the water. I'm just in high school, man. I'm just going to church. Everybody else is going to church. Man, but when is it going to happen on the inside of your heart that you want to wake up and read your Bible, that you get up and you seek God because God has given you a kingdom that cannot be passed away, that doesn't fade away, that lasts forever? When is it going to happen in your heart that you can't wait to come on a Thursday night or come on a Sunday morning at church or wake up in your morning and get at the altar of your bed and worship the Lord? When's that going to happen in the inside of our hearts? I'm not talking about you just looking good and trying to be good. I'm talking about it happening on the inside of your heart where you choose to, where you want to please God. I'm telling you, I've been to the other side. I've sat on the other side of the table and eaten from the world's things. And I've come to this side and I say the other side is worthless and it is of no effect and it's vain and it just passes away and it just leads to destruction. And the first 16 years of my life were wasted. But now I'm living in glory. And God's got good things for me. He saved me and I'm going to give my life to Him. And I'm going to follow Him and I'm going to trust Him and I'm going to give my life to Him no matter what. No matter what. Look, young people, I'm not here because somebody said you need to be here. I'm here because my heart has literally been transformed and I met with Jesus and I've understood the revelation to a certain measure, not completely, but I understand this thing that I was dead in my sin and Jesus Christ came to me personally and He made me alive, not because of anything that I could do. And all He asks is that I live my life for Him and serve Him and love Him and worship Him and do everything He tells me to do. That's all He's saying. Just do what I tell you to do. Just serve me. I'm a good God. Don't worry about anything. I'll take care of you. That's good news. That's good news. Amen? Amen? So then we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. If you got a pen and you got a Bible and you see that word refuse, I want you to underline that word. I want you to draw around that word. I want you to highlight it with red. I want you to even kiss that word. I'm just kidding. That's just blasphemy or something. Refused. He refused. Let's just look at this real quick. The word refuse is the same word in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, that says, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself. It's the same word as denying. Refusing is the same word. The Bible says he denied to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now you got to understand the context here. What was going on here was that Moses was raised in the culture of Egypt. He was born and they were going to kill the baby, so his mom gave him into the water, and Moses's or Pharaoh's daughter found him and started raising him. Okay, and so he was always raised by Pharaoh's daughter. Okay, now you got to understand this. Check this out real quick. You ready? Okay, Pharaoh or Egypt represents the world. Pharaoh represents the prince of the air. Bible says that this world, in 1 John 5:19, that we know that we are the children of God and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. If you're following the things of this world, your discipler, your mentor is the devil himself. That's why Jesus says your father is the devil, because they are following the course of this world. And so the prince of the air, or the ruler of Egypt, was Pharaoh. He represents the devil himself. The offspring of the devil is the world. And the offspring of Pharaoh was Pharaoh's daughter. The Bible says that Moses said, check this out, Moses denied, or he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, he denied to be considered a person of the world. Because Pharaoh's daughter represents the world. It represents the world system. Do you get this? It represents the world system because the offspring of Pharaoh, okay, is the daughter, and the offspring of the devil himself is the world structure. So what the Bible is showing us and telling us is that by faith, he chose, I'm not gonna be numbered or seen as one of the people of the world. I'm denying the world. Dust denied. Dust denied. That's tonight. I'm not gonna find myself fulfilling the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I'm not gonna run to those things. I'm gonna deny. See, if you understand, I guarantee it. Moses wasn't, he wouldn't have been found in all the drunkards and all the orgies and all the parties. He wasn't going to be found when people were gossiping and slandering about the people of God. He wasn't going to be found with those people. Last week we talked about the last breath. He had a changing in his life where he breathed his last breath and he turned and he said, no, not only am I going to die, but the world dies to me and I die to the world. What's Paul say in Galatians chapter 6 verse 14? He says this, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interests in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. Look, when I got saved and I gave my life to the world, all my friends that I used to smoke with and drink with and party with and gossip with and slander with and curse with and disobey with and be not and not submit to those people, I had no interest in them, and they had no interest in me. There's no interest there. We had uncommon interests. See, the problem with me when I sit down with my wife to go eat food is that we have common interests. But if I have uncommon interests, there ain't no way I'm going to reach across the table and get her food. The problem with us is that we still have interests in this world. And what we have to do is that, yes, we die, but the world dies to us. In other words, I don't want to take part in the world's structure and system. No, I'm not going to take part in that. It's not going to take part in me. There is no way that somebody in this world is going to call me up and say, hey, you want to go partying with me? Because they're not interested in me, and I'm not interested in them. I'm not interested. I'm just telling you the truth. And this is the thing. Even within the church, they're not interested in gossiping around me. They're not. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it around our leadership team. They won't do it. They won't do it because they know that we don't have like interests. If there's people around you that feel okay with gossiping and slandering and lying and coveting and talking about horrible things, then you still have like interests. You need to find yourself separated from the world. Now look, you got to be careful because there's a balance. Check this out. Moses, before he was sent into Egypt, God had to take him out of Egypt. See, because Hebrews 11:24, we just read it, says that he denied to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. After that, he was taken out of Egypt, and then God said, okay, now I can send you back in. Before God is going to really use you to change your family, to change your school, to change the people that you hang out with, is you got to get the Egypt out of you, and you got to get out of the Egypt. You got to get out of the world system and the world structure, and that junk's got to get out of you. And when that happens, then you can stand in the middle of any circumstance, in any situation, and I can go to any party, which I'm not going to, but I can go to places, and I'm not going to find any interest in them, and they're not going to find any interest in me, except the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came to die for us and save us. Amen? Amen. Amen. So uncommon interests. Uncommon interests. Your interest in the world has to die, and their interest in you has to die before you ever find yourself in the glory of God. And then it goes on and it reads in verse 25, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing. You hear that word? The passing pleasures of sin. They're just passing. You have fun for a little bit. But look, fun that lasts till the night, but when you wake up in the morning you feel sick, that's not fun. I'll tell you what, tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up with a smile on my face, roll over, kiss my wife, and thank God it's another beautiful day. And I guarantee there's people tonight, that not in here, but just people in general, they're partying, they're lying, they're gossiping, they're going to bed rude and upset and letting the sun go down in their anger, and they're going to wake up tomorrow morning with feeling the same thing. And fun that doesn't last till the next morning is not fun at all. It's just passing. You can feel good for a little bit, but one day you're going to reap all the consequences of that junk. Look, it's just passing. Passing pleasures. He's like, I'm not going to be known as somebody that is in the passing pleasures of sin. No. I'm not going to enjoy those things. I'm going to be known as a person of God. Even if I get persecuted for it, even if people make fun of me for it, you think you're holy or something? I guarantee that some of us, we've tried standing up for people that were gossiping around us, and they're like, what, do you think you're holy or something? Yeah. Actually, God made me holy. Why aren't you acting like it? But we didn't do that. Instead, we're like, oh, no. Yeah, he is a jerk, man. You know? Or whatever. You know? I don't know what people say. Stinking jerk. Yeah, what did you guys say? Totally, man. But I'm going to find myself find myself as a son of God, as a daughter of God. Not chasing after these passing pleasures called sin. I'm wrapping this up. Stay with me. I started too late. Sorry. By faith, he left Egypt. Come on, somebody. By faith, he left Egypt. And that translation says, by faith, he left Egypt behind him. He left it behind him. He was done with it. Not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Gabrielle, can we just come up? You don't have to play a huge song or anything, but just be able to play the piano, yeah. Thank you. You checking it? Check this out. Last Thursday I talked about my last breath. And for us, in order for us to step into glory, Andrew, we have to breathe our last, right? So we got to breathe our last. In other words, I don't live anymore. But also for us to step into all that God has for us is that not only do I die, but the world and its interests died with me, and I died to it. Look, Moses never could have gone to the promised land, or never could have taken his people to the promised land if he didn't first deny his identity in the people of the world, and chose to deny dust, deny the things of this world, and started to pursue the things of God. 2 Timothy 2:22, you know the scripture, flee youthful lusts. You might quote it. Even when you start thinking about things like, oh, flee youthful lust. But the next part's even better than the first part. 2 Timothy 2:22, B, the second part. Flee youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. Along with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Look. Sum it all up right here. What you need to do is you need to make a decision. No longer am I going to act like the world, and no longer am I going to be a friend with the world. The Bible says that friendship with God, or friendship with the world, is enmity toward God. Pick one. Matthew 6, you can't serve both God and mammon. You can't serve both God and this world. You got to pick one. Pick one. God, Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 5, that God is a jealous God. That the spirit within us yearns for our whole person. God's not okay with just some of you. He wants all of you. He's either the Lord of all or he's not the Lord at all. You got to choose one. And this life, and this is the biggest thing. And the church, and our culture, let there be no Egypt in our culture. Amen? Let there be no Egypt in our culture. You want to know why? Because it's passing. You want to know why? Because it's just fleeting. It's just temporary. It's just momentary. But what lasts forever is true fellowship. What lasts forever is when you stand up and you begin to worship God. What lasts forever is when you get in your Bible and you read the Word. What lasts forever is when you make a mistake and you get on your knees and you repent. What lasts forever is when somebody sins against you and you forgive them. That's what lasts forever. These other things are just fleeting. They're just passing. If you want to experience all that God has for you, if you want to experience this thing that we're calling glory, if you want to experience the thing of the kingdom, if you're wanting to experience that, you have to deny dust. You have to deny the world system, the world structures, and then leave it behind you and start pursuing the things of God. Amen. Would you stand with me? Second Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 14, talks about, and you know, probably know the scripture, that what does the devil and God have in common? What does unbelievers and believers have in common? God says, be separate from them, come out of them, and I'll come to you and bless you and be with you. come tonight. You've come for a reason. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was because you wanted to sing some music. Maybe you just wanted to come and maybe hoping that I might make you laugh or something tonight. I don't know why you came. Some of you came because you really love the Lord and you really want to pursue God and you really want to grow and bless you. Thank you for coming. Keep coming. But would you hear me tonight? Would you hear what I'm trying to say tonight? Would you hear what the Spirit is trying to say tonight? Would you hear what God is trying to say to you tonight? Would you challenge yourself tonight? Would you test yourself? And I'm asking in this next few minutes that you would challenge yourself and ask yourself, Lord, where in my heart is there Egypt? Highlight times in my life when I have had friendship with the world. Look, if you're looking for a friend, come and be with us. Come and take part in our leadership team. Come and hang out with our leaders. We'll befriend you. I promise you. We'll love you. We'll accept you. We'll bless you. We'll pray for you. If you're worried of somebody not accepting you, don't worry about that. We'll accept you. But would you separate yourself from the world? Not for the sake of GM, not for the sake of a church, but for the sake of God Himself. Because He's called you for glory, not for dust, people. I'm just trying to save you some time. I'm just trying to save you some energy. I'm just trying to help you to just lead you to glory. Would you pray with me? Would you bow your heads and just pray with me in this time? Lord God, tonight, we thank you so much for how awesome you are, for how amazing you are. God, that you'd be merciful to us and patient with us. And I pray that your people would hear your word tonight. God, I pray that they'd respond wholeheartedly. God, I pray that they would run to you and find forgiveness for their sin. And find forgiveness for the things that they've done. God, I pray that day in and day out, you'd strengthen them. That you'd bless them. I'm asking right now, Lord, that you'd speak to your people and show them, Lord. Show us, Father. Speak to us, Lord. Just ask Him right now in your own voice, with your own voice, all of us, everyone in this room, Lord, show me, Lord. Show me, Lord, where the world is still in my heart, God. Come on, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Lord, show me, speak to me, show me, Lord. Come on, ask Him. Ask Him, Lord, open up my eyes. Open up our hearts, Lord. Just listen to Him. And just with every head bowed and every eyes closed tonight, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and given Him your whole life and ask Him to be your Lord and Savior, and to leave the world that you're in, to trade it all, and you want to ask for forgiveness of your sin and become a Christian today, would you just raise your hand in the air? Is anyone in here tonight? Tonight, if you're in a place and you feel the Lord tugging on your heart, and you feel like there's something where you know that there's things in your heart that shouldn't be there, and you're finding yourself in the culture of this world, and this word and this message really convicted you, I encourage you tonight the response of the Lord in this time. In your own seat, in the own way that you see fit, I want to give you time to seek the Lord, to draw near to Him, to repent and ask for forgiveness. More. It's not okay anymore. It's not okay anymore. It's not okay to do what you want to do. We're living in a serious time. Just as 50 years ago was a serious time. The good news is that God wants to bless you. But there's bad news, and the enemy wants to kill you and destroy you. And he's after you. And so you might think it's just little, and you might think your little thing is just little, but really he's leading you astray into the pit of despair, into the pit of destruction. And I challenge you and I encourage you tonight to not take this challenge lightly. To not think that your sin is okay. But to know that you're held accountable to what you've heard tonight. That God is not okay with sin. And He's not okay with those who live in the world and act like the world. So tonight, if you felt any conviction, I challenge you and I encourage you. Please respond to the Lord. You will reap eternal life. And you will reap His blessings. And you will reap His favor and His forgiveness. But if you harden your heart, He will not work with you. And you will not find His blessing. And you will not find His favor. You will just find destruction. And you will see that your soul will be wasted away, forfeited, forfeiting eternal life. You're not insignificant. You are more than significant. And your very soul is worth the death of Jesus Christ. Don't take His challenges lightly, but respond to them in humility and brokenness. Search me and know me, O God. See if there's any wicked way in my heart. Would you pray that in your own words? Would you ask Him to search you and to know you? Ask Him. Ask Him to convict you. Ask Him to open up your eyes.
that He can help you and redeem you. So merciful, Lord. Yes, you are. You are merciful. Let our only justifications come from the Lord. If that doesn't make sense, let our own qualifies or all our qualifications, the things that qualify us or make us right, only come from Him, not from our own excuses. All right? We find our favor and we find our righteousness in what He says, not in what we think. I want to pray for you and bless you. I want to just ask if you just, in some way, in some form or manner, just receive. I'm just going to pray for you. And you can lift up your hands. You can hold out your hands. I believe God wants to bless you tonight. So let me pray with you and pray with me. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, God, I thank You for Your people. God, I thank You that You love them. God, I thank You that Your mercy is reached out toward them. God, I'm praying that every one of these people in here, every youth in here, God, would find Your hand of mercy and receive all that You have for them, Lord. God, I pray that they would continually listen to Your voice and that You would encourage them and strengthen them all the days of their life. Lord, I pray that they would find You in all the areas of life that they walk in. God, I pray that everything they put their hands to and everything that they speak about that's in Your will, I pray You'd bless it. God, I pray that they'd find favor in Your eyes and the eyes of man. God, I pray that You would multiply the fruit of their hands. You'd multiply the fruit of their lips, God. That everything that they put their heart to with their whole heart and their whole mind to glorify You, I pray, Lord, that You'd bless them and multiply them. And God, I pray that You would promote them and bless their finances and bless their relationships and bless their families. And God, that You would keep them and strengthen them and keep them healthy and secure and lead them in the path of everlasting, Lord. I pray You continually give them influence in the places that they are leading, in the places that they are loving, in the places that they are preaching the gospel. Lord, that You would encourage them and strengthen them. Every weak person here tonight, Father, they'd be encouraged. Every timid person here tonight would be lifted up, Lord. And every idle person here tonight would be challenged and warned of the things that You're going to bring to them, Lord. I pray You bless Your people, encourage Your people, God, that they would receive the fullness of joy. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 Bless you. Again tonight, we said it last Thursday. I said it Thursday before that. I love you. Thanks for coming tonight. I'm glad that you're taking your spiritual life and your spiritual journey serious.